This message is brought to you in part by the First Filipino Seventh-day Adventist Church of New Jersey.
I would like to start my message in a story. There is this two brother, and one Saturday morning, this little brother wake up his older brother, and he said to his brother, "Brother, we need to go to the church today." And then this older brother replied him back, "I don't want to go to church. And I'm going to give you two reasons why I don't want to go to church." And he said, the first one, "I don't want to go to church because it's too far from our house." And then the second one, "I don't want to go to church because people there doesn't like me." And then this little brother replied him back, "My older brother, I'm going to give you two reasons why you need to go to church. First one, you are 25 years old. And then the last one, you are the speaker today." I'm speaking with Brother Christian, and he said that to me this morning and the last week. I entitled my message this afternoon, "One More Time." Do you know this person in our screen? This is Michael Jordan, or we call him MJ. Not Manny Hardignano, not Pastor Manny Hardignano, but the legendary basketball player of all time. Who knows and who likes basketball here? Anyone? Those ladies? I remember one time there is a final or championship between the Spurs and then the Miami last year. And then one of the members here in our church, she posted it in her status, and then there's a lot of bunch of comments and reactions with that status between these two teams, Miami and then the Spurs. But I would like to share with you Michael Jordan. Before he became a successful basketball player, he has some of the quotations that I really like about him. The first one is, "I failed over and over again in my life. That's why I succeed." The next one is, "Obstacle don't need to stop you if you run into a wall. Don't turn around and give up. Figure out how to climb it and go through it and work around it." And the last one, "I can accept failure. Everyone fails. Everyone fails at something, but I can't accept not trying." That's why I entitled my message this morning, "One More Time." We all experience difficulties, failures in our lives. But Jesus, our God, always gives us a second chance, a one more time. If you have your Bible with you, kindly open it to the book of Romans 5, verses 20, and in Hebrews 4, verse 16. It says here, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." And in Hebrews 4, 16, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, at this very moment, we come boldly to the throne of grace. Before I utter words to your people, dear God, I ask you to forgive me of my flaws, of my weaknesses, and of my sin, so that the words that I will share to your people will be in accordance to your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, good afternoon, everyone. I'm so glad and I'm so thankful for this church because Pastor Manny, I am texting Pastor Manny last Thursday that maybe I can't make it this coming Saturday because I have been having hard time of my everything. But he said to me, I will pray for you. He prayed for me. And I know Pastor Manny Hardiniano is doing his best for us to inspire every one of us. I chose some of the people or Bible characters in my topic this morning. And one of these is King Manasseh. King Manasseh is one of the recorded person in the Bible, which is, they address it, the wicked, the most wicked king of all the entire king that who ruled Israel and in Jerusalem. In 2 Chronicles chapter 33, if you have your Bible with you, you can open it with me or you can read it with me. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. Take note, how old is Manasseh when he started to rule Jerusalem? 12. At that young age, he has already given the chance to rule over Jerusalem. What an opportunity, right? Because he has that birthright, he has that, what we call that, if you are a son of a king, you are ordained to be the king in the future. By the way, who is the father of Manasseh? Hezekiah. Hezekiah is one of the greatest king who ruled Jerusalem. In chapter 32, verse 7 and 8, this is the saying of Hezekiah's father. And we try to compare these two persons, Manasseh and Hezekiah. In verse 7 of chapter 32, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the multitude that is with him, for there are more with us than with him. And in verse 9, with him, who is this him? The Assyrian people, the enemies of this Jerusalem, of this Israelite people. And then in verse 8, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles, and the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. I would like to repeat that verse again. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. It is not only our battle, but it's God's battle also, right? And in verse 21, then the Lord sent an angel who cut down every mighty man, valiant leader and captain in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returns shamefaced to his own land. Therefore, they defeated this Assyrian because they believe God is with them. Can we say amen for that? But here, King Manasseh is the opposite of King Hezekiah. In verse 2, but he did evil in the sight of the Lord, had cast out before the children of Israel. And in verse 3, for he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. He raised up altars for Baals and made wooden images, and he worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. In verse 6, he practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft and sorcery and consulted mediums and spirits, and he did much evil in the sight of the Lord. What is the purpose why this king Manasseh tried to do his own will against with his Lord? We all know that Hezekiah is a great king in his time. But this, the second king, his son, who ruled Jerusalem, is doing such cruel things, wicked things among his people. And not only that, he made or he built altars for Baals, or of all the idols in his town. What is his purpose? In verse 6, to provoke God in anger. Did you ever try to challenge our God? We all know that we have difficulties and struggles in our lives. But when we do things against with the Lord, against with the Holy Spirit, or we are fighting against the Holy Spirit, this is very wicked things that we're doing with the Lord. There are those people in our societies that they are doing such wicked things that even fighting with the Lord is what they're doing. And the result of the wickedness, in verse 10, let's read. And the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they would not listen. Therefore, the Lord brought upon them the captains of the army of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze fetters, and carried him to Babylon. In verse 10, and the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they would not listen. Of course, Jesus, our God, is always using such instruments for us to be reminded of what we are doing. Sometimes our God is using those people around us, or even those messages of songs, preachers, even accident itself, just for us to be reminded of what we are doing. Before God will punish us, or even before God will give us the consequences of everything that we are doing, God is speaking for you and for me. And you know the result of his wickedness? He was captured by the king of Assyria, and they took Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze fetters, and carried him off to Babylon. Take note of this, brothers and sisters. God is always speaking to us. He is always there for us. He is always waiting for us. But we always harden our heart and ignoring his calling, and we suffer the consequences of our sins, and we start to question God. Do you ever sometimes blame God of what's happening to us? Do we ever sometimes blame God, not only blame God, but we blame ourselves as well? I know some of us are suffering like that. Even I myself sometimes, Lord, why are you allowing these things happening to me? Why am I suffering? Did I do something cruel, cruel things, or we such a wicked things in your sight? I'm serving you, Lord, but yet I'm suffering. One saying tells us that, help me, dear God, not to be short-sighted, but to follow your will and to obey you and to trust you more each day. The repentance of Manasseh. There is a good news in every consequences of the sins that we have committed, right? When we come to the Lord, there's such a power, there's such a renewal of our faith and heart, or of our soul, right? In verse 12, let's read. Now when he was in affliction, this is Manasseh in Babylon, he implored the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And in verse 13, and he prayed to him. What does Manasseh say? Did he prayed to him and received his entreaty, heard his supplication, and brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. At the time when he started to return to the Lord, did God tell him that, "Oh, wicked Manasseh, all over your reign in Jerusalem for 55 years of doing nothing but evil"? God didn't say that you're not worthy to be forgiven because you've done such wicked things in my sight. God didn't say that to him, but he said in verse 13, "And God heard his supplication and brought him back to Jerusalem into his kingdom." Manasseh knew that God is really an existing God. Can we say amen for that? And he returned to his land and returned to his God. Take note of this, brothers and sisters. I blew God's plan for me, but God doesn't withholding your past. He is concerned to you all the time. I blew God's plan for me. God gave me opportunity, but I blew it big time. God gave me the chance to change for better, but I blew it big time. Take note of this, brothers and sisters. God already lined up mercy and grace to every mistakes that we've done. God already lined up mercy and grace big time. Amen? When Manasseh asked God one more time, God is on the rescue, ever willing to listen, and a forgiving God. Hebrews 4:16, God is holding you in the palm of his hands. He's not going to let go. It is, if God has a purpose on us, I do believe that God has a purpose on us. Everything that is happening to us, God has a reason why he's allowing these things to us. For us to be like, we know or we are reminded of what God's purpose on us. In Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If we feel that we are so weak, if we feel that we are sinning against the Lord, it says here in Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. I really like this praise in Hebrews 4:16. If we come boldly to the throne of grace, there is mercy, there is grace awaiting for us. When sin abounds, I remember when Sister Irma mentioned this last time she preached in Romans 5:20, when sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Amen? God's grace always supersedes. If sin abounds at the level 5, grace abounds at 50. His grace is wonderful. His grace, you cannot measure his grace because his grace is limitless. His grace is unconditional. His grace is everything. If the sin is like this, at the level of this, his grace is more higher than this. And his grace is always dominant over sin. His grace is always overruling over sin. How about Samson? Samson was dedicated to God, right? We all know that his parents, they cannot bear a child because of such difficulties in their lives. But Samson, in the first part of his life, he was given by God. He was given such a supernatural strength, right? We can read the whole story of Samson in the book of Judges, chapter 14, 15, and 16. But here is the highlight of his story. When Samson fell for Delilah, who's this name? Delilah. Who's this Delilah? A beautiful woman. And woman is one of the weaknesses of men. Is it right? A Samson. Okay. Only for Samson. Okay. Not for everyone. I remember when I started to I started to take my theology course. There are four things that ministers are always fail, or ang kahinaan, the weaknesses of these ministers. The first one is kwarto, kayamanan, and the last one is what? You don't know? Katakawan. Yan. Kwarto, kwarta, kayamanan, katakawan. Not only for those ministers, but every one of us, right? I don't know the English, just translate it. Right? In Judges 16, rather than killing him, the Philistine preferred to humiliate him by gouging out his eyes and subjecting him to hard labor in Gaza prison. We all know that when Samson was captured by these Philistines, and we all know that in his past stories, he is fighting against his enemies with this supernatural strength, right? But the starting of his fall, because of this woman, Delilah, he was captured by this Philistine because they noticed that the source of his strength is with his hair, with his long hair. But as he slaved at grinding grain, his hair began to grow. His hair began to grow, but the careless Philistines paid no attention, and in spite of his horrible failures and sins of great consequences, Samson's heart now turned to the Lord. He was humbled and he prayed to God. In verse 28 of Judges chapter 16, then Samson called to the Lord. And he said, O Lord God, remember, I pray, strengthen me. I pray just this once, O God. Even though he was captured and he became a slave of his enemies, he said to his Lord, one more time, dear God, give me strength, empower me, so that I will defeat my enemy, your enemy. Strengthen me one more time, and I pray just one more time, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance of these Philistines for my thrice. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house rested, and leaned upon them, and the one his right hand, and the other with his left hand. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the Lord's and upon all the people that were to him. In the life of Samson, brothers and sisters, he killed hundreds of Philistines. He killed hundreds of his enemies. But at the end of his life, even though he became weak, he sinned against the Lord. He did his own powerful, he did his own might. But at the end of his life, he turned back to God and he said, one more time, dear God, strengthen me and I will defeat my enemy. Amen? Samson, in his failure, he finds strength. After all the mistakes he did, and when he come to the throne and ask him one more time. Hebrews 4:16 is telling us, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. This is the prayer of Samson. He come boldly to the throne of grace. Question is, will you have the voice or will you have the nerve and courage to ask God with boldness in spite of all the mistakes and failures that we've done? There are those people in this church that they are starting to blaming themselves. I'm not worthy to be in this church because I'm a sinner. Take note, brothers and sisters. Our church is the hospital for sinners. And Jesus is our healer. And we all need a Savior like me and like you. God will not only forgive you, but He also strengthens you one more time. That's why we stop to blame ourselves because we are already redeemed by the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. If God did not did it to Samson, He will certainly do it also to you and me. How about Jonah? We all know that Jonah is chosen by God to preach the gospel in what place? In Nineveh. But he went to what? To Tarshish. But as he traveled going to Tarshish with this big ship, there's such a big waves, big storms that comes into their ways going to Tarshish. And then they started to question themselves, what is the reason or the cause why we are suffering such terrible things in this ship? When God calls Jonah to preach repentance to the wicked Ninevites, the prophet knows that God's mercy may follow. He may be reasoning out, I'm going to go to on my own way. I'm going to preach anyway. But I'm going to choose this Tarshish because they are more better than Ninevite people. Yeah, Ninevite people is like the killer or those people that they'll just laugh at you, curse at you and everything. And then God's mercy may follow anyway, but he turns down the assignment and heads for Tarshish. But once God dampened his spirits and demonstrated his protection, Jonah realizes that God is serious about his command and Nineveh must hear the word of the Lord. What happened to Jonah? They throw him out of the ship. Because there are those people here are like they want to go to bed already. He was inside of the belly of the big fish. It's not a whale or it's not a tilapia. It's a big fish. What? And he said, this is the prayer of Jonah. In chapter 2 of Jonah, verses 2 to 9, this is the prayer of Jonah inside of the belly of the big fish. There is darkness of that of that belly of that fish. Did you ever try or did you ever experience that when it's your room is so dark and so silent, it's like you can hear every steps or every run of these small creatures like the cockroach, like the mouse. Every steps or every footprints of that little creatures, you can notice everything, right? But in the other side, if you notice that you are alone and just by yourself in a dark place, what are you usually do, Elder Loris? Sleeping? But how about if you are wide awake and you can't sleep? I don't know if others are doing something extraordinary, Brother Larry. But in the darkness of our room, we started to see ourselves, Lord, I need you. And we started to pray. And our prayer is more powerful than in public places, right? And when we started to pray, Lord, strengthen me. Lord, bless me. Please answer all my prayers and everything. And John started to pray inside of the belly of that fish. And he said, I cried out to the Lord of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice, for you cast me into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me even to my soul. Then the deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit. And O Lord my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you. With the voice of thanksgiving, I will pray what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. You are called for a purpose, brothers and sisters. When God chose Jonah to preach over these Ninevite people, his purpose is always there. Even what you want you to do with yourself, even with your own might, I will still do what I'm purposely planned for you. Every steps of our lives, dear, my dear brothers and sisters, he already lined up strategic plan for each day of our lives. Jonah asked the Lord for deliverance from the outrageous sea, and God even used a fish to bring us back to his purpose for us. And one more time, in his prayer, he did what God told him to do, and he became a successful preacher. Amen? Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If we are really in need, if we feel like we are so weak, let us just come boldly to the throne of grace. How about Jacob? Jacob, we address him Jacob the deceiver, because Jacob cheated his brothers Esau with his birthright. We all know that birthright is very valuable things in the lives of these people. If you are the elder brother, you are destined to have that birthright, or you're destined to have the blessings of your father. But at the end of life of Jacob, in Genesis 32, verses 26 and 28, I am tired of cheating. I cheat the birthright of my brother Esau. But Genesis 32, 26, 28, then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. The angel of the Lord came to Jacob, and they wrestled together. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Then the man asked him, what is your name? Jacob answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. Israel means people of God, prince of people of God. And because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome, from Jacob he became Israel. Take note of this. Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord. I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. I'm tired of cheating and taking advantage of people. And one more time, dear Heavenly Father, strengthen me at this moment, and I will correct all the wrong things that I've done for the past years of my life. Now, bless me, dear God. Jacob the deceiver became Israel, a children of God. Romans 5:20, but where sin abound, grace did much more abound. If we sin against the Lord, His grace is more dominant than our sins. One more time, shake off the guilt, stop condemning yourself, and go to God. I believe that God will restore you, bless you, and show great things to you and for me. How about Apostle Peter? Peter is what we called the stone or the rock of the apostles. We call him Peter the doubter. We call him Peter has an issues. Peter the denial in everything. Peter became fishers of men. Jesus walked with him, ate with him, but yet he denied him. Let's look back one of the story of Peter in Matthew chapter 14. Let's read our Bible. Matthew 14. Matthew 14 verses 28 and 29. This is the time when Jesus is walking on the water. And Peter asked his God, asked Jesus, Lord, if it is you, command me to walk on water. In verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on water. And in verse 29, so he said, this is Jesus, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, and he cried out saying, Lord, save me. What did Jesus did? And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. Take note of this, brothers and sisters. Peter started it right, Sister Irma. Right? He walked on water. That is a genuine faith. But at the end, he is almost near to his Savior. He is almost near to his Jesus, to Jesus. And then he just, his faith was shaken. And then he started to sink. But take note of this, brothers and sisters. We all know that Peter was, what is the occupation of Peter? A fisherman. And of course, if you are a fisherman, you are a swimmer. Of course, you know how to swim. There is no fisherman that doesn't know how to swim. Are you agree with me? Or you're hungry? Okay, and then he mentioned in verse 29, and then he said, when he started to sink, he cried out for help, and he did not say, Lord, I can help myself. I can swim. Don't you know my resume? I am a fisherman, and of course, I am a swimmer. He didn't say that, brothers and sisters, but he said, Lord, what? Save me. We don't trust ourselves sometimes, but just trust our Savior. He is always there for us. And he immediately saved him, reached his hand, and caught him from the water. Jesus already know what will going to happen. And remember, God always give us a one more time. Peter became the bearers of the gospel. He became a successful preacher. How about Thomas? Thomas traveled with Jesus every day. But he still doubt on him. But when he proves that Jesus is alive, he may say that he is not worthy to be his apostle. But God gave him one more time from doubting Thomas to a believing Thomas. Even God is directing our steps, there are those times that we fall. But God says, it's not the end. Don't put periods in of every failure that you've done. But either just put it like comma or apostrophe. That says, it means like there are continuation of every failure that we've done, of every stories that we've done. And God says it is not the end. God is holding you in the palm of his hands. He's not going to let you go. God never runs out of one more time. He always gives you a chance. God strengthens me one more time. God doesn't judge you with your weaknesses, your failures, your mistakes. There is always one more time for you. God, restore me one more time. God, strengthen me one more time. God, redeem me one more time. And God, help me one more time. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is my prayer.